Hey guys, welcome to the No Fly List, where we talk about being brown in America. I'm Adir.
And I'm Layla.
And today we have a musical band as opposed to
a musical band. Oh, that's so
That was terrible.
So embarrassing.
We have musicians. I'm gonna start over.
You started over? Okay.
Okay. What should I say? We've got Higazi band here. Layla and Omnia.
We have a special guest.
I forgot how to speak, you guys. I'm sorry.
You can just call us Higazi. You don't have to call us Higazi band.
Just Higazi.
Just say the band.
We've got Higazi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, band. Exactly.
We get like you're our third musicians.
No,
and every
cool.
time I'm always like,
you just don't
what
know
what
do
to I introduce. Say? How? Yeah, because I'm used to.
But you introduce people on stage all the time
as comedian. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
You're fine.
Okay. Hey guys, welcome to the No Fly List, where we talk about being brown in America. I'm Athir.
And I'm Layla.
And today we have a special musical guest, Higazi. We've got Layla and Omnia in the studio. Welcome.
Thanks
for having us.
We are so blessed with your presence today.
Yes. And it's been several years. So you guys are twins. When I saw you, I was like, I forget which is one, which is which. I'm sorry. Because it's been like 5 years. We did an event together in New Jersey.
No way.
Yeah. I was performing comedy. It was when I was first starting out. I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Are you sure you were still great.
Same.
And you guys were singing. Were you guys also first starting out, or like you had been around for a little bit?
We weren't a band yet at the time. It was
really?
When we were like still solo artists, but we were performing together, but we didn't really know what we were doing. It was like, I guess we could do this gig together.
Oh my God.
So it was pre-Higazi.
It was for, what was it?
For Waffle House.
Waffle House?
Waffle House. It's a domestic violence charity in...
Wow, way to not remember that in here.
In New Jersey.
I knew what it was. I couldn't remember the name. Yeah. I was like, wait, Waffle House.
W-A-F-A, yeah, Waffa. Not Waffle.
Yes, not Waffle.
Wow, that's cool.
But they were performing... Did you both sing? You did,
yeah,
right?
We did.
And you both play instruments as well, right? Which instruments do you...
All of them.
No.
Definitely not.
Layla plays piano and I play guitar and we both sing.
Wow.
Well, she also plays violin. She's being very modest.
Cool.
Yes. She's recently played violin in
the fancy instrument. Oh my
it's
god.
It's a new thing.
That's
we're enjoying
awesome.
It.
Yeah. Congrats. Very cool. Very cool. So we like to start off our show with a little segment called the No Fly List, No Fly List. So Layla, do we have a person for today?
I do. It's not a person today.
Ooh.
I know.
What
it's
could
arguably
it be?
An empire. It's Amazon.
Because
this is what I was debating in the last episode, whether I would do Kevin Hart or Amazon. And the reason I picked Amazon to be like the next threat to America is because of, I don't know if you guys heard, but they're going to be, you know, moving over to Long Island City and bringing like 25,000 employees. And not just that, but they just took a government contract to do like AI stuff for the Department of Defense. So
really?
So now Amazon is also like doing stuff for the military, which is like crazy.
Yeah.
And I still order stuff from there all
I
the
do
time.
Too. I love Amazon.
And I feel so freaking bad about it.
I didn't want to feel bad about it. Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Why'd you tell me? I mean, I knew what they were doing.
Yeah, and they treat their like their warehouse workers like really poorly too.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a whole thing. They were on strike, like
shit.
Yeah, Amazon sucks. I mean, listen, they should sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, please sponsor
us.
We'll accept your dirty money.
We can help them do better. We can help, you know, clean their image, or rather like brown their image up a little bit. But yeah, no, for real. Like we should all try to use Amazon a little bit less. I say that I will definitely leave this podcast to go watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel
on
Amazon.
Oh my God. I rely on Amazon too much. Do you guys shop on Amazon?
I've been trying not to.
Yeah.
You know, I've been reading about in Europe over the summer, there were massive strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this is so crazy, but I was hearing about just the warehouse conditions were so bad. It was like during one of the heat waves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was actually, they just refused to get central air. And instead, they actually stationed ambulances outside the warehouse because
Are
they figured
kidding?
It was cheaper than getting central air to
oh
just hire
God.
A private ambulance.
No.
So ever since then, I'm like, let me really try not to shop at Amazon.
I
you
just
know?
Want to say, that would not be cheaper in America.
Yeah. I was just saying. How is
so
that
no,
cheaper?
Definitely.
So that's, you know. They've got universal health care and all that
right.
good stuff.
Yeah. So ambulance, no
So
problem.
They can pass out. It'll be fine.
No. Yeah.
That's insane.
It's messed up, guys. It's messed up.
That is really
serious.
Messed up. Oh, my gosh.
It's really serious.
So when did you guys officially become a band then? When did you, like, join forces? Because you were each, like, singing separately or, you know, recording your own music separately.
Yeah,
and then you decided, hey, we should team up.
Yeah, well, people have been telling us that we should team up forever, but of course we didn't. We never listened. And then, so our father passed away at the end of 2015.
Yeah.
15.
I'm so sorry. Yeah,
I mean, it's about to be 3 years already. Yeah. But actually, it was after he passed away that we kind of joined forces. I think like by early 2016, you know, it was sort of, we just had both.
We had been dabbling. Yeah. We had been doing kind of like joint shows together and, oh, you sing on my song and I sing on your song. And then eventually it was like, well, why don't we have our songs? That would be kind of cool, right?
It kind of happened organically. Like, I think it was moving before he passed, but then it was, once he passed, it was just like, we just knew.
He always used to say, especially, that we should do this. And we were like, oh, Dad, you know, bratty teenagers. Oh, stop it, Dad. Right. You don't know what you're talking about. And then we realized he actually had quite a point.
Did you guys feel, or like, why did you initially, why were you resistant to joining together? Is it the twin thing, like, I want to be my own separate
totally,
identity?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we've been, even since high school, we've been in separate schools. We went to separate high schools, separate colleges.
Really?
Yeah, and actually I think that was very important for our personal development, you know, just to develop as people.
Not as
a pair. Exactly. Like, actually, I remember the first day of high school being away from her, my first day of school, just as a person, not as a unit. And it was scary, actually. It was terrifying. It was like the first time in your life it's just you.
Now you know how the rest of us feel
every
day.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought of it like that. But, you know, I think that it was a good thing that we kind of separated for a bit, because now we kind of come from both very different musical styles, and I think that having that time to develop personally as people and as artists was really good for us. And now we've kind of come back together, and there's so many influences to choose from, and so many things that each of us can bring to the table that maybe if we were together, those things might not have developed the same way.
Yeah, you have more variety and things to bring to the table than, sometimes if you, like, develop in the same way or you have the same music taste, it might not be as, I don't know, three-dimensional as it is now. But that's really cool. When did you guys start making music?
Ooh, officially, ever. I think we wrote our first song together when we were 11, but we had started, like, learning about
that's
music.
Adorable.
I think it was mostly, like, school chorus and band.
Like,
I know that sounds
like
so,
band geeks.
Like, silly, but that's really what it was. We just loved it in school, and, you know, we had that opportunity to, I guess, pursue it that way. And, you know, I think that's why we're also really passionate about music in public schools, because had it not been for that, we literally just would never have known, like, wow, actually, we're pretty good at this, and we really like this, you know. So that was where it started, and, you know, the songwriting, I think, happened when we were 11. But, you know, we were singing, we were playing, we played clarinet. That was fun. You know, but we learned how to read music, and that's where it all started, really.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So did your parents, like, encourage that?
I think people always ask us this all the time, like, you know, because we come from a mixed background. Our father was Egyptian and our mom is Italian, and people always ask, well, basically, really, how did your father feel? But when they say how do your parents feel, they really mean how did your Arab dad feel about you in the arts? And he was actually very supportive. I mean, I think, as a lot of parents do, that they worried, both of them, about us, like, how are you going to make a living, and how, you know, they wanted us to feel secure and not have to struggle, of course. But, you know, he was our biggest fan. Really.
Where did you guys grow up?
Staten Island, New York. We still live in Staten Island, New York.
Really?
Which is now
Do you guys live
Trump
together?
Country.
Oh, no, wait. You guys don't live together.
We used to live together.
One of you is married, and I forget which one.
Layla.
Just from your... Layla. Mabruk.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm engaged.
Engagement.
That's happening.
Yeah.
Congrats. Still going on?
It's still on. As of today, it's fine. It's
going on. Am I allowed to say that? Is that okay?
We talk about it all the time. When did you get married? Was it recent?
It's about to be like 2 years in February.
Oh,
so
nice.
Still pretty recent.
Oh my God, did you get married on Valentine's Day?
No.
I kind of wish you had.
I mean, I think Valentine's Day was a Monday
time. Okay.
So that would have been
difficult. No, but you made the right choice.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. Also, it's kind of a cheesy.
I know,
cheesy.
But that's why it's hilarious.
Well, we're getting married on Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
The opposite of Valentine's Day. It wasn't intentional. We just wanted to do a Friday, and it was the only one in September. So And
that's great.
I was like, all right, whatever. I think people get superstitious about it. I'm like, that's so dumb. Like, who cares? Although Arabs can be very superstitious about stuff.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Arabs are superstitious about everything. Yeah. And they're, like, into, like, like the aunties and the grandmas are into astrology, which is so random and weird.
That's true.
But they all,
like,
they're
cup reading.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. There's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was it growing up with both, like, Arab and Italian cultures? I imagine they, like, overlap in many ways.
They're actually very similar. You know, we get that question a lot. And I mean, both cultures are very loud, very dramatic. They like to eat a lot. You know, they're very demonstrative. And I think the only thing, the interesting thing, is being an Italian who can't eat pork. That's a very interesting existence. You
oh
know?
My gosh.
You're an Italian who's not supposed to drink, who's not supposed to eat pork, and
no,
that's just
sausage
a very weird,
and chorizo.
Like it was always around. Like growing up, there was prosciutto on the table. Like, you know, not in our house, but at holidays, you know, we'd go to our Italian family members' houses, and there was like an assortment of meats that we could not touch. And they'd be really cute because they would put some extra, like some like turkey on the side and be like, oh, look, here, this is the Muslim plate you can eat from that. But I mean, you know, the cultures are actually very similar. Mm-hmm.
Did your mom like convert, or did she just kind of like follow these kind of
she
rules
did not
for your
convert.
Dad?
She did not. No. She was raised Catholic. She's not like particularly she's a spiritual person, but she wasn't like, you know, church going, you know. So she kind of just told my dad, well, I don't really care. You take this one.
Right.
That's so funny.
That's so cool.
And I guess that's how my parents were too, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, my mom is Greek and my dad is Palestinian.
Oh, cool.
I also played clarinet and violin growing
up.
Like,
wow.
We're
the same person.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where's my twin? Is just what I'm wondering. But, we didn't eat pork. We didn't, like,
And your mom was cool with it. She was just like...
Yeah, I get. I mean, I don't know. They got divorced, so like maybe she wasn't.
She was like,
cool,
you know what? This is where I draw the line.
Maybe that was the reason, and
it's like
I just don't know.
Bacon or bust.
But like, yeah, like it was definitely the dominant religion was my dad's for sure. I don't know why though. You know, and my one of my best friends who's half Algerian, half French. It was the same thing.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
When it comes to diet, it's like. Think we're taught to be so squeamish about it. It's like it's just easier just not to have it in the house,
right.
And everybody's like freaked out, but I don't know, at the end of the day it's just like food.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, especially pork is one of those things that Muslims like I don't practice really, but that's the one it like sticks with you because you're taught how it's like gross and like
taught to be grossed out. It's like really silly.
So it's like psychological. You're just like
drinking, okay, smoking, okay, pork.
Yeah.
Oh,
so no, like yeah, that's what, that's it.
Yeah.
That's so true. And like in Islam, they don't, it's not required that the woman converts because it's usually based on the paternal side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the father's religion. Mm-hmm. So if your dad's Muslim, you're Muslim. So it's like the opposite of Judaism. So I'm just always curious when people have grown up with like mixed backgrounds, what that's like. But yeah, that must be hard with Italian food. I can't imagine. And food is such an important part of both cultures.
Yeah, seriously.
Sure. I mean, you know, the family kind of just adjusted to us, and you know, it was like, okay, meatballs used to be made with beef and pork, and now they're just beef. Okay, we got to compromise. You know,
I didn't even know meatballs had pork in them until I became an adult and
me too
realized that was a thing one had to ask.
Me too. I didn't know that. And like I lived in Alabama, so that was really hard to navigate around non-pork things. Like gravy would have pork in it, everything you know would have pork. And whenever I asked, it would be like some small town where we went away to the beach with my friends, and then I'd ask the server if the gravy had pork, and she looked at me like I was insane. Like I had like five heads. Like what do you mean? Why would you ask? Like the way she looked at me, she was just like, "It's gravy." I know that doesn't answer my question. I think either like it's only made in a certain way, like with pork. I think, I don't know, or no one's ever asked that question.
Isn't it just like animal? I don't really.
You can make it with both. I don't know.
Italian gravy is just pasta or marinara sauce, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's
like that's what
Italians call
gravy.
Red sauce.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
But I thought regular gravy is truly just
beef.
Fat.
But what kind of fat?
I think it's whatever.
Whatever
well,
was
that,
cooked.
To be
yeah.
fat,
it was beef. That's always what I thought.
I thought it was beef, but sometimes in the South they do it with pork.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever.
You could substitute. You know, I think that's the other thing. You know, when it comes to food, there's so many other foods.
Mm-hmm. True. You're not, missing out that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had stopped eating meat, actually, for, like, 2 years, and this was when our dad was still alive, and he was, like, beside himself.
Yeah. No. Blasphemy. How dare you?
Yeah, no. I mean, I eat meat, just not that much. But it was just so funny, because he was just, like, so concerned, you know, like, oh, my God, what do you eat?
Like, what do you eat? What is there for you?
There's so many foods in the world, Dad. Like, and now, you know, and just looking back at like, oh, I can't eat pork, like that's not limiting at all.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
You know,
yeah.
it's really easy, you know.
Growing up, did you have any like dominant identity? Like, I know like religion, it sounds like Islam was more dominant, but did you guys feel like one way or the other in terms of identity?
I definitely think so. I think, you know, if you're an Italian without an Italian last name, that's not how people will treat you. Mm-hmm. That's not how you're perceived, you know. And we always joke that Staten Island is really Staten Italy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, if I were to tell my Italian classmate, oh, I'm Italian too, they'd be like, no, you're not.
Higazi?
No, thank you. Naya Higazi. Layla Higazi. It's like, you know, oh, where are you from? You're not from here, you know. So I think that almost there wasn't much of a choice but to identify with the Arab Egyptian side, because that's just how we were perceived.
But
you know?
Then we also spent more time with the Italian side, so
that's
it's very
interesting. Part,
like
yeah.
That was the family we were closer to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, most of like our close Egyptian family is really like still in Egypt, you know. So yeah, like the Italian family, they're the ones that were here. So I mean, we spent most of our time with them. But it was also like, I don't think we were ever completely accepted by the Egyptian side either. Like, it was always a weird like middle ground of like not really being enough of this but like not really being enough of that either, you know, because we don't really speak Arabic. Like, we could like barely get by on
that's
in Arabic.
We're literally the exact same people.
Maybe you guys are triplets.
Yeah. Like, maybe that's why.
Maybe
yeah,
two Laylas and an Amnia.
It's so true. Like, my Palestinian family, like Athir always is like, what's it like being Greek? And I'm like, I don't know, because I'm like not really fully Greek, but like and then the Greek side is always like, you know, sorry that you're going to hell. And I'm like, that's cool. And then obviously the American side is like, you know, what are you? You
yeah,
know?
Right.
So it's kind of like, it's a constant game. Like, at this point I kind of just gave up and I just like don't really talk about it anymore. Mm. But it is like a constant, cause you're just put in a position where you're constantly having to justify like, why is your skin so light? So I'm like, I was born this way. Like, what do you want me to do? You know? Or like, why is your name like this? Why is this like this? And it's just tiring. I don't know. What do you guys,
I feel that, yeah.
Do you guys fight like, in the sense that you're like, no, trust me, I'm Italian. Like, when people say you're not Italian, like, what's your response usually?
Well, I'll tell them that I didn't know that red sauce came in a jar till I was in high school, and I was very disturbed.
Oh, yeah. You got the good stuff.
Yeah, like, that the idea of ragu revolts me. That's what I would tell them. I mean, you know.
That we laugh at recipes that call for one clove
of
garlic.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Or even two cloves. I'm like, oh, my God, what not? Like, what not?
It's all garlic.
Person wrote this
four
recipe.
Cloves. Yeah. Five cloves.
Yeah, like, okay,
always
Martha
at least
And both cultures, like, use a lot of garlic,
oh,
so that's
yeah.
And a lot of spices in general. Mm-hmm. So did your mom cook any Arabic food, or was it mostly
Italian? She was good at it.
Really?
I think that I wonder.
Lachia? Did she make lachia?
That was the one thing she did not. She didn't like it.
It.
My dad made really
I can see. A lot of people are really like weirded out by like the texture.
It's like either or. You either love
it
or hate it.
My dad made it and he was great at it. He was a great cook.
Yeah, that's like quintessential like Egyptian that every, I think almost every Arab I know loves it.
Yeah, but she made Egyptian food really well. She's like a chameleon. She can cook anything. And I think
that's amazing.
She cooked some Egyptian food for our Egyptian family and I'm pretty sure they were like, oh, a little threatened by this.
Yeah,
like blonde white Italian lady who was making their food that well.
This is
that's
too
awesome.
Good.
Yeah. So
that's great.
Yeah.
So
her baklava is really good. Like her desserts, her Egyptian desserts are on point.
Oh, yeah. I love Italian desserts too. That oh my God, invite me to your house for dinner. That's why I ask people what they're I'm like, how well does your mom cook?
Well.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Yeah, both cultures have like amazing food. Did your mom make like fresh pasta and stuff? Or
that's something, it's interesting.
That's tough, I feel.
That's something that a lot of non-Italians are just like, I don't have time for that. But I will make my own sauce.
Yeah, like we don't make our own phyllo dough. Like that would take forever. But
there's time for that. Yeah, exactly.
You could just buy that.
Yeah. I know how to make phyllo dough and pasta, guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I'm impressed. I made my own ravioli. One day I was just like sad, so I was like, I'm going to learn how to make ravioli. So I made ravioli. And they were so good.
Oh my God, invite me over
dinner. Weirdly, it takes forever. So I can, if you have a family, obviously not. Like, how the heck are you going to cook? But like, if you're totally alone and like lonely and sad, like, it's the best. Like, there's so many things you have to do.
Sure.
It's like, yeah, let me like, I don't even remember.
It gives you something to do, maybe to focus away from your sadness.
Yeah, exactly. It's pasta.
You know, my coworker and I were talking about how every culture has a different version of some sort of dumpling or
that's true.
Like
it's
even
totally
us.
True.
I don't know if do Egyptians do shish barak?
I don't think so.
It's like it's almost like a ravioli with like meat, like ground meat, and then it's in a yogurt sauce.
Oh, that sounds like, that's like Turkish, like manti. Like that's like,
maybe
that's like a Turkish thing. I don't think Egyptians do it, but okay. I could be wrong. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure, but well, what's the, I'm like, I wonder what,
is it not Turkish people duckling? Do that. It's like super teeny little.
Yeah. Yep. It's really small and it's like in a, like a tart yogurt, like hot yogurt sauce or broth.
Is there, what's the Arabic name for it?
Shish barak.
I know. I never remember hearing that.
Unless there's a different name for it, and
because
like
could
it's possible.
Because
like an Egyptian dialect, so different from our dialect. But it's so cute. It's like singy songy, kind of like, I don't know.
Do you guys call falafel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is we call it tameya.
Tameya?
Tameya. Yeah.
Oh.
It's so strange.
It makes no sense. Because
you guys call what we would, you call milk laban, and that's to us yogurt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's.
What do you call yogurt?
I actually don't know.
Oh, that's, that's what I was wondering the other day, actually. I was thinking about
it. Now I don't know. Now I have to find out.
Yeah,
now
we
I'm
need
curious.
To look this up.
I thought I knew what it was, but I call it zhej frech, like chicken. Chicken is frech.
Yeah, we don't.
I grew up with an Egyptian friend, and we would always just be like, wait, what do you call this? Like, I could not understand her mom, though, because she talks so fast. Mm. I was just like, what is she saying?
The Egyptian accent, though, it is, you're right, like so much more sing-songy and like less like aggressive. So it's like, it's just so pleasant to hear.
That's
and like,
true. That's so funny because I perceive it like the totally opposite. Yeah, like when I hear other people who are not Egyptian speak Arabic, I'm like, oh, they sound so nice.
That's so funny.
But because you know we have like the hard G, like the everything.
That's true.
Egyptians.
We're Egyptians. So it's like whenever I hear anyone like like Hijazi, I'm like, oh.
My name sounds so nice. Actually, so yeah. Sometimes I wish it's Hijazi. That's what
I mean. It is. That's how it's written.
It is Hijazi
in Arabic.
It's just that's
there's
not
no ga sound.
Say it, yeah.
That's but there is though.
Yeah. But there isn't. Oh God! War is about to break down. Break out. But, what part of Egypt is your dad from?
Cairo.
Yes. Do you guys ever go?
It's been a long time, and you know now trying to go since he's passed away, it would be very emotional. So
yeah,
we haven't
gone,
and it's like you know,
and weird.
It's like
you know,
kind of needed him around there.
Yeah, you know,
I wouldn't know
speak
what to
the
do.
Language, and even if you do, it's like they still know that you're like, that you don't live there. So you know, it's and where he stayed, we still have the apartment actually where he grew up, and you know, so if we went, we would want to stay there. Mm-hmm. But it's also like it's in Shobra, which is like a very like. You know, there's no tourists there or anything.
Right.
So it's everybody that lives there, it's like
it's
they
like
live
from there.
They're from there. So it's, you know, it's as much as we want to go, it's like we realize that, okay, we can't just go with like our blonde mom or like by ourselves.
Has
like,
she been at all when you're
she
dad?
Loves
she
it.
Thinks
oh,
it's the
she
best.
Absolutely
I mean,
loves it.
Yeah, people
actually.
Love it. They go on vacation. I've yet to go. That's on my list of places to
oh,
travel.
Oh, I've been. Ooh.
Oh,
I
you guys are triplets for sure. Now.
I loved Cairo. I was there in 2012 for the elections. And it was I had been in Dubai for like a few months prior to that. So I was like, the contrast was so amazing that I was just like, this is the most like rich, authentic cultural place ever, which I'm sure is like not like, you know, not true. Like I'm I don't know much about Emirati culture anymore, but like, I'm sure they have something, you know.
Sure.
I didn't experience it. I only experienced Dubai.
Dubai is not a good place to go for culture, for like Arab culture. There are no Arab
I also
people
went
there.
To Sharjah and Abu Dhabi.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Same thing. I mean, not quite on that level, but
Yeah.
But Egypt is awesome.
Yeah, I have to go. Did your family or your dad's side of family have any issue with like him marrying like an Egyptian, I mean a non-Egyptian woman or an American woman or Italian?
You know, it's when you're a man, you have it easier for
sure. Oh my God.
I mean, I'm sure Layla could.
Seriously. That is so true. Well, your husband's not Egyptian, right?
No, he's half Puerto Rican and half Chinese.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So speaking of pork.
Oh my God. Yes. You're right.
It gets complicated. So it was they were like more upset with me, but it's also like, you know, the family here we're not that close with. I mean, there's like a select few people that we're close with, so it's like, all right, I don't care if they don't approve.
Like the Egyptian family here that didn't approve, there's
it's
so
like,
few of them
you're
anyway.
Not invited.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
You don't like this.
No, I mean, and you know, it wasn't like to be rude, but it was more just that, you know, like this is you know, I've been with this person for a long time. Like I met him when I was 18 years old.
What?
Like, you know, like don't make this not pure because it is, and it's, you know, like I don't know. I don't have to justify this, basically.
Yeah.
It's also, you know, there just comes a point where you decide that you also have your own traditions, like, outside of, like, what your family thinks is right, you know? Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I mean,
how long did you date before you told your parents?
Well, my mom knew right. See, that's the thing.
That's, yeah.
You know, like, that's where mom it gets interesting.
Mom is where you tell all the stuff you don't want dad to know.
Right. And it's also like having a, you know, an American, like, mother, you know, like, Italian mother.
Her perspective is going to be so
totally
different.
Totally different. Like, she was
she did
the
same thing, essentially,
start.
Right? Like, she married someone outside of her culture.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's like, it's just so taboo when it's, like, the woman, you know, in our culture. It's like, when it's the woman, it's, like, such a big deal. Yeah. And I just remember, like, thinking, you know, with our dad, like, how hypocritical this is. Because it's like, you know, you did the same thing.
Yeah.
You did exactly the same thing, but you know, it's just
it's a double standard.
It is a double standard.
So what point did, or how did you tell your dad?
I mean, it was, I think he came to visit me because I met my husband in college, so he came to visit me in college, and you know, I guess it was like he was there. I don't remember exactly how it happened, but it wasn't planned at all. It wasn't like, okay, and he kind of like, he was just like, all right, fine.
Did you introduce him as your boyfriend, or you're like, this is my friend, Baba?
I think when he first met him, it was weird because it was like we weren't like official yet, if that makes sense. Like, we had just kind of started like being involved, but you know, we weren't officially together. So he knew that this was a person I was talking to a lot, and that was a very short amount of time that we weren't, you know, together. But it was like, he just was in the hallway, because I met my husband because he lived in the same hallway as me. Mm-hmm. Like, in,
oh my god, like, yeah, freshman year?
It was literally like that.
So cute.
Yeah, so it was like, he just was there. I was like, oh, hi, this is my dad. It was not planned at all. It was super awkward.
Oh.
Super awkward. But my mom, like, I had kind of told her about him, so she's like, hi.
Yeah.
And then my dad really knew, like, all right,
yeah,
this one. I don't think he thought it would last, though. It was like when he thought it would last that he really got scared.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
of
what
course.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he did come to accept him before he passed away.
Oh,
you
that's
know,
great.
He was like, and then that's all I needed. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just knowing that he was totally on board. With
that's
the whole
awesome.
Thing. Yeah,
I think once they get to know the person, and it is, it's hard to. It's easier to reject someone when you don't know, when you just reject the identity.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Until you actually meet the person.
Yeah.
Well, he did. And, you know, it was like, there were these constant, like, moments of, like, okay, like, I guess I'll talk to him. And then, oh, no, I don't want to. And then, like, okay.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know, if someone's around long enough, it's like, all right, this person's not going away. I guess I have to deal with this.
Yeah. So. Is the pressure off you now, Amnia? You're
like, oh no, now she's married, so now if I see that side, it's like, oh, you're next, Habibi, you're next.
Automatic, yeah.
Yeah. It's your turn, you know, and you know.
It's always like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how it goes.
That's true. You never escape those pressures.
No, you don't.
But I mean, at least maybe you're off the hook. Like, you can marry whoever you want now. Now
that Layla's kind like of trailblazed a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. She made it easier for the rest of us.
Sometimes I always wish I had like an older sister that could have like gone through all the shit with my parents and fought all the battles, so that when it came to me.
I just wish that I had a sister.
Yeah.
Because there are so many things I didn't know about
life in general.
Yeah. Like, about like being a girl.
Mm.
Like, I had to wear like boy hand-me-downs like until I was like my stepmom. Like, my stepmom was the first person that came into my life that was like, I was like, oh, you know, I need a pair of jeans, and she was like, okay, we'll go buy them. And I was like,
what? So wait, whose hand-me-downs were you wearing? Your brother's?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was bad. I was ugly.
Oh no, I'm
partially
sure
because
not.
Of the clothes.
I'm sure you weren't, but
no, I totally
so was. Ladies, speaking of love and relationships, we have a little segment called 50 Shades of Brown, where we have people send in their dating advice questions. A lot of them are other people of color, multicultural, like, dating questions. So let's see, I will read this one. Okay.
Dear no fly list,
thank you, Layla.
You're welcome.
The last three dates I've been on, it hasn't resulted in anything. What am I doing wrong? There must be something. I always feel like a connection, and there's never a dull moment, but for various reasons, I never see her again. Confused in Canada.
That's
a tricky one.
I don't know what I would do if I was this person. And I think that's part of being... I suspect this is a boy.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because I feel like this is obviously
boys are clueless.
When they say nothing happens, what do you?
Maybe like never follows up.
I'm assuming they mean they get ghosted.
Yeah,
after
that's what I'm
the first date. I'm gonna assume they're not.
Well,
a creepy...
they said I never see her again, so
okay.
I guess they get
okay.
ghosted.
Yeah,
you're right.
I don't. Know. The whole concept of ghosting, I'm always like, that's really messed up. And then I remember how many times like creepy
Have
guys.
Have you ghosted some?
Like,
we've
not,
all ghosted
not
people.
For real, but like, I've definitely I'm the type of person that if a guy asks for my phone number, and I have a boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. I've told you this.
Yeah. So. I don't know what to do. So they're like, can I have your phone number? And I'm like, yes. And then I give them, and I'm so like deer in headlights that I just give them my phone number. And then when they text me, I never ever respond. And I like block the number.
No, you just
which is like uncool. I know that that's uncool.
Ladies, just say, I don't give out my number to people I don't know. Yeah. That's it. There's nothing.
No, I know. You're right.
That's purely just fear because, you know, we live in this society where women are not allowed to say no. So it's like you feel like you have to say yes. Just to appease. Because it's literally when you
like
say
if they
no,
go away
it's never when I'm with like girlfriends or like with a group it's always when I'm by myself like on the subway nobody else is in the subway car and I'm like what do I do I just don't want to make anybody
mad.
God
you're right you're right sadly that happens all too often so it
as far as advice
as far as advice for confusing Canada don't make a woman feel like pressured to do anything with you because she may the reason you may feel there's a connection is maybe she's too scared to say no because she doesn't want you to get like crazy or violent because a lot of men can overreact and it scares us so sometimes like you said you'll just say something to like appease them and then they go away
and that's
and
why
then
the
you
date
never
seems
hear.
Like it's going well
yeah on the other hand I mean I don't know what would you guys advise I don't know if it's something worth like asking if it happens multiple times be like is there a reason like this didn't work out.
Oh, to go back to a woman who's not.
Yeah.
Who
if someone said that
responsive.
To you, would you be like honest with them? If it was like a genuine good guy that you
I
just
think
wanted
I would.
To?
You know, I think I would. I think I would be honest. I think honesty is just generally a good way to go about things. I mean, you know, as far as like future interactions, you know, if you find that this is continuing
it's
to
like
happen,
a trend.
You know, I think there's also. I mean, it's hard because obviously none of us are there in that sedating situation to see what it is that happened. But I mean, you know, I would also just say that someone for you is out there and, you know, just like hang in there.
Like take a look at yourself. Maybe like maybe you're not coming off confident and that's showing and you don't realize that it's showing and you need to work on yourself a little bit before you expect somebody else to.
That's true. Layla, what do you think?
I'm also I'm wondering who's doing most of the talking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like if you're doing most of the talking and you think it's really going really well because like, oh, look at how much I opened up. It's like, well, what about the other person?
Oh,
you know, like
that's
what's happening in that interaction? You know, are they feeling a connection? So that's something I would look at.
That's so true. You remind me of something. I read this thing that said that, you know, the way that women and men judge each other's sense of humor is totally different. Like, you know, like women judge them based on if they make them laugh. And men judge a woman's sense of humor based on if she laughs at their jokes.
Oh, my God. That is so funny and so
Adam,
true.
Adam, the only guy in the room. Adam,
is that real?
I think it's
you
real.
Tell us, Adam.
I don't know who these guys
are. I read
are.
This article about that. Yeah, it's for
well,
real.
You have to
based
ask yourself.
Based on if you think I'm funny.
You're like, oh, she's got a great sense of humor. I could totally see that happening. God.
No, you could totally. Because if somebody doesn't laugh at your jokes, and I would say, like, if somebody did this to me, if somebody doesn't laugh at my jokes, like, in a conversation, I would leave that interaction saying, man, they don't have a good sense of humor. You know what
I
mean?
See.
Well, I think
so
it's
I can see that.
To be validated.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
I think that's what it's about.
But
for sure.
Thinking if they're funny, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'd want them to make me laugh. Not. Yeah. But that wouldn't be my first thing. Sometimes I get like, okay, people have different sense of humor. But that's not how I would immediately judge someone else's
that's
like
really
sense of humor. Because I get like, oh, they might not just have my, they might just have a different sense of humor.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they don't have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
But I think guys
true.
Would be like, oh, she didn't laugh at my stupid like rape jokes. What a, I don't know.
You're just assuming every man
I know.
Out there is making rape jokes.
I know. In comedy, I'm a little like jaded because
that's fair.
I see dick jokes and rape jokes all the time and guys being like you guys suck you don't think that's funny like a lot of guys will like react that way.
Can I ask did this guy say it's multiple first dates?
Yeah.
Was that was a question? Because it all depends on like what how he's meeting these women too.
Yeah, like, it's like the last three dates he's been on.
If it's an online thing that's very much in numbers. Like,
yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of auditioning.
Yeah, you're right.
It's almost like job interviews.
What about?
So like, don't get down if you're not clicking with. You might have to go on a bunch.
Yeah.
What about talking on the phone with some? That's something I've heard like people doing.
There's also like I know there's an app now where there's like a video component to it where you have to video chat with somebody before you meet them.
That's
to
true.
Take out
that's
the
a good
awkwardness.
Idea.
Yeah.
That is a good idea. I'm so glad I didn't have to go through.
Me too.
I mean, knock on wood. I guess I could still potentially, but like, I'm so glad
so
until
far.
This point in my life I didn't have to do
like the online dating thing. I did for a very short period, and then the guys like freaked me out. And
really?
Like, no. Yeah. One guy went off on me on Tinder. we were like talking briefly, like I was on my way back from DC to New York, and then I saw someone who I thought had an Arab name, then we talked and he was like South Asian, I forgot, like Pakistani or something. And then he was like, oh, I love Palestine, blah, 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 blah. And then he was like, he kept like messaging me, and I didn't want to talk to him, and I wasn't interested, so I just stopped answering. I guess I was ghosting him. And then he was like, I'm going to be in New York. What's your number? I want to meet up. And the way he came off was, like, aggressive. And so I was like, I'm not responding to this person, which just pissed him off more. That his next response was, fuck Palestine. Hope you guys get bombed to death.
Oh, my God.
And fuck Gaza.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, interesting. Why are you attacking my country? Oh, I just didn't respond.
Yeah.
So from, I deleted Tinder after that. I was like, I don't want to deal with these like crazy people. Yeah. Have you had any like online dating experiences?
I have never dated online.
Really?
Never.
I know. And like,
yeah, it's just because I've heard horror stories like what you're saying from female friends, and it's, it just makes me not want to.
Yeah. And Layla, you dated your husband way before.
Sometimes I'm just like, online. Oh my God, thank God I didn't have to deal with this crap. It's like scary out there, you know, but it's so also like, you know, I'm there for my friends who are going through it.
Yeah,
and you know, like although, you know, I have to say I do have a good friend right now that, you know, she's with a guy right now that like actually is a good guy, and like, but you know, she had to go through a lot of crappy
also
ones.
If you're meeting people online, like try to, if you're really serious about it, I think if you join like eHarmony or Match.com, I know people have gotten married from that, because if you're paying for a subscription, you're likely more
serious
right
it,
and more committed to finding someone than like OkCupid or Tinder.
But I do know two successful Tinder relationships.
Like, I know
a couple
it
too
is a thing.
It's just like, are you willing to endure a lot of the crap? But I think screening people ahead of time. So if I don't know if this person is meeting someone online, I feel like, it's a crapshoot sometimes. But it's good to chat a little bit, either on the phone or if I don't know if they can Skype, because then you kind of get a feel for the person. Mm-hmm. And then if you guys just like didn't click. But I don't know. I think ghosting has also just become a cultural thing that people do.
Oh, my God. I got ghosted by jobs. Like, that's like, I feel, I don't know if this was always a thing, but it's like a thing now. We're like, and not just me.
I've got
like
ghosted
so many
by agents.
They just like, you apply for a job, you go in for an interview, which is essentially first date, and it seems to go really well.
You have
and
to lie about your resume.
And they don't even
lie about who you are, make yourself sound great.
They
I mean,
don't
not
even,
that you're not great, but in general.
They don't even tell you like no thanks, bye. It's truly just getting ghosted. Mm-hmm. So I do think it is like kind of the nature of society right now.
Yeah. That's true. So unless someone like tells you they want to see you, even then sometimes people act like they're really interested. I had a friend who was going through something similar, and I asked him, I was like, well, you should just text her and be like, yeah, and he's a really nice non-aggressive guy, so I knew like he wasn't gonna react. I knew there must have been something, and maybe he needed to hear it from them, like, hey, just wondering why, you know, why this didn't work out, just want to know for like future like relationships. And he was like, I don't know, that might be weird. And I was like, if someone sent that to me in a nice respectable way, I'd want to tell them.
I actually would answer that.
That's
actually like, you're actually trying to grow as a person.
Yeah,
I actually really respect that.
And I would love to tell, because you don't want to tell someone who's gonna go like aggressive and like crazy on you.
Yeah,
but if they're coming at it from like, hey, nice to meet you, totally understand, like we didn't click and you know there's no chemistry, there's a way to put it that seems non-threatening, and you can get a real like honest feedback, because only you guys know, like the two people on the date know what went on, so us like speculating
and it's so different between each person.
Exactly.
Does love ever come up in the songs that you guys write?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny though, because it's always hard to write a song when you're happy about anything.
Yeah.
So that's art in general, it seems.
Yeah, that's true.
So we have, you know, we have moved on to other topics that don't revolve around love, and then, you know, you float back with certain, you know, challenges that come up. But yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, we've sort of gone through this weird phase too of being like not a completely political band, but we have written about things that matter, you know, and then it's also like,
what kind of things have you talked about?
Well, like immigration, for example. You know, like we write a lot of songs that are like really feminist, but we've had this discussion like a million times of like, well, all right, so yeah, like our songs have a political edge sometimes, but that's not all. Like, we're still allowed to write love songs. Like, at the end of the day, we're still songwriters, you know, and like we're allowed to, like, you know, I guess write about our experiences, whatever they might be. You know, you're writing about essentially what your reactions are to the world around you. So, and that includes everything.
It's a lot of things.
Yeah, personal things, like things outside yourself, you know, absolutely.
Do you see it as like a form of therapy when you guys do
it? Definitely. I think, you know, songwriting for me, at least, it was something that I would do to figure out how I felt about something. Mm. If I wasn't sure how I felt about something, I would have to write about it. And then at the end of the song, when it was done, or whatever version of done that I could be okay with,
yeah.
I would understand. Okay, this is how I feel. And sometimes it's a way of expressing yourself, but it's more of just a way of understanding yourself. So sometimes I'll write a song that's purely just for me, that has nothing mm-hmm. to do with, I'm not trying to, you know, put it out as a single or anything like that. I'm just purely trying to get something out. And, you know, I try to remember that sometimes, you know, doing this as a job versus, mm-hmm. well, why do you really do this, you know? Mm-hmm. Do you do this to perform, or do you sometimes just make art for the love of it? And there are some songs that are for everyone, and there's some songs that are just for me, and mm-hmm. that's actually yeah. okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where do you, so you usually like kind of, it sounds like you draw an inspiration from like your own life and just kind of like what you're
yeah,
going
or
through.
Other people's, like I know before we were a band, I was very much of an observational writer.
Wow.
So like one of the songs that I put out when I was on my own was about a, like kind of like arranged marriage, actually.
No way.
It was like about kind really? Of like forced marriage, and it was yeah. the song was called Aziza. It was about like a girl, it was like a made up character that I made up.
I think I heard the song.
You probably
you,
did
you,
yeah
you, sing it
I think I did yeah
yes
it was just it was actually like the combination of two people's stories
yeah.
who did not, I mean, and actually both people did know each other, but it was just the idea of a woman giving up her dreams for a man and also consequently being forced to get married at a yeah. very young age, and you know, it was based on two people who I knew. And
wow.
so sometimes, you know, when you're a writer, you don't always need to write about your own life. Sometimes there's plenty of material around you if yeah. you just seen a few
same
you
with
observe.
Comedy like
oh yeah
you could be observational, you could be personal, you mm-hmm. could be a little
Absolutely.
Bit of both. And yeah, it's true. Like sometimes I want to do like political jokes, and sometimes I just want to do a dick joke if I want.
Like, right.
I just want to do what
yeah,
you want.
Yeah, it's not one or the other. And I think that people like to pigeonhole. Like, mm-hmm. oh, this is what you are. This is the kind of art that you make. And I think the whole point of being an artist is to be free and to be open
yeah.
and open to anything, really. You know, just whatever inspires you, hopefully.
Yeah. What genre?
Did I say that right?
I have a problem saying genre.
What
genre.
Did you say last
genre.
Time?
Genre.
You said
I do
like
a hard
genre
J.
or something.
Like, no, I
genre.
Do. I do a hard J.
What?
I do like
genre.
A J.
Genre.
I do this
genre.
Also with version genre. Versus virgin. Like I say the same thing. Like what version oh. of this versus what like this what, is like a Virgin Mary. You know what I mean?
So do you, are you saying you call Virgin Mary Virgin Mary?
No, I think I say the other way. I think I instead of saying. Version 3, I'll say version 3.
That's
like,
so weird.
I know. I'm like, am I saying genre? Genre? What genre would you categorize if you had to? Speaking of pigeonhole, not
yeah.
pigeonholing,
yeah.
but is there like...
What genres do you draw inspiration yeah. from?
Thank you.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. That's a better way to put it.
Well, I think when we were individual artists, like we came from very different places genre-wise. Like I was more of like a acoustic guitar, folky pop mm-hmm. person, and she was more of a soul R&B singer, and we've kind of come together and married some of these styles. I think I've gotten a little more rock since I've kind of swapped out the acoustic for the electric guitar. I play mostly electric at our shows now, so things
wow.
have gotten a little edgier now.
That's cool.
A little less folk, a little more rock, but yeah, I mean, that's where I'm coming from, and Layla has her own musical history.
Yeah, I think I used to like function like completely in the R&B world almost,
yeah.
and now it's like I feel like it is a little more pop than it has been, but it's still
True.
Soulful. Like it's
yeah.
always going to be soulful because
yeah.
that's just it's in a really important part of my background. Like that's the music that I fell in love with. I mean, basically the music of Black artists. Like
yeah.
you know, like I just
there's a lot of heart and soul and a lot of things to
yeah.
draw from there.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I also think like it's a delicate balance too because you know a lot of. You know, Black artists were never really properly credited for,
yeah,
you know,
of course.
Their amazing music. And, you know, you had, like, the Elvises of the world and, like,
yeah.
all the white faces that were put on
yeah.
this music. So, you know, it's like I take that very seriously, like, not being a Black person, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, and loving this music. And, you know, and I think it's important to recognize, you know, even rock music. It was
all American music
is Black music.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It is.
All pop culture. All
Absolutely.
That. We take that from Black culture, from rap songs, and
yeah.
whatever. Are there any particular artists that influence you?
Oh, there's like a million.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to narrow it down to just a few, I mean, I was actually really influenced by a lot of jazz music. Like,
cool.
Yeah, like Ella Fitzgerald is like a vocal
mm.
goddess to me.
Wow.
Billie Holiday, like yeah. just all those really old school, but also like, you know, the new school stuff too. Like, I love Alicia Keys. Even though, you know, I think her songwriting prowess and like her performance is actually, it's more powerful than her vocal. You know, I just love her energy and like,
mm-hmm.
I love the way that she writes and, you know, so I think we draw from like those kinds of influences. Amnea has like totally different ones and I think, you know,
Who are your influences?
I mean, at least when I was on my, you know, doing stuff on my own, I was very influenced by like a lot of folk artists from like the 60s, like more of like a Joan Baez or like, you know, Pete Seeger, mm-hmm. you know, these are artists that they wrote music, you know, for workers' rights and for, you know, like there were so many civil, like Stevie Wonder, people don't think of Stevie Wonder or Marvin Gaye as singer-songwriters, but they very much were. Yeah, people always think totally. Of singer-songwriters with white faces, but, yeah. you know, Marvin Gaye was a singer-songwriter yeah. and, you know, he wrote so much important music for the civil rights movement. And like, I was very influenced by music that kind of, I don't want to say necessarily music with a message because it becomes very cliche. I mean, they wrote music again, that we were talking about a lot of different things. You know, actually, an influence of mine that kind of is unexpected for some people is that there's a Colombian singer-songwriter named Juanes. He's one of the yes. most important artists in Colombia.
Is he the one who sings that one song that was really famous?
Which
I don't want to say. I've been saying miscrediting so many people the past years. I don't want to say.
You want me to fact check it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Google him and see what his most famous.
I mean,
song
really,
is.
The reason why.
What's his name? How do you spell
Juanes?
It?
Like Juan, but Juan. With an es at the end. But the reason he was such an influence to me mm-hmm. was because he was writing these really catchy pop songs with political innuendo mm-hmm. buried underneath, like especially the early stuff. Like he would write this really catchy song that had a badass guitar solo in it, but it was
songs.
About a landmine in Colombia.
Yes, this is who I was thinking
yeah.
of.
And
yes,
it was just like this light bulb went off in my head of, oh, you can actually write really, because, you know, pop music is infectious. You know, it gets
yeah,
stuck
exactly.
in your head. And when you're trying to actually affect change in any type of way, right, using that genre of music is actually very effective.
She
because
said genre.
Genre.
Oh,
now you did it. Now you did it.
I got in your head.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's very effective because it catches on.
Yeah,
so I mean,
exactly.
even though both of us come from these diverse musical styles, we still have a very much like a pop sensibility. Mm-hmm. We
yeah.
seek to write a good hook that gets
yeah.
in your head, and you know that it marries
do,
all these
do
things
you ever,
and
like,
makes it accessible.
Struggle between like writing something that'll sound like catchy and something that everybody likes versus like you're like, oh, this is what
yeah.
I really like. Something that feels true to me, but it might not appeal to as many people. Do you get like, does that
I
ever
mean,
happen?
I think in my past, definitely, because I used to like play piano and sing, and I used to like write with these really like robust jazz chords,
right.
and
wow.
like, you know, I remember I was sort of in talks with this like A&R who was at this record label. It didn't end up working out, but I remember him telling me like, you should get rid of that chord. It's too complicated. People
Ugh.
Won't get it.
Really?
And just feeling like this guy doesn't get me at all, mm-hmm. you know, and just feeling like I had to like water it down, but also not really being willing to, because that was sort of, you know, at the time, like that was the style. It was very like, it was almost like as if Norah Jones and Alicia Keys had a baby. Like, you're
oh,
not
yeah.
going to like water down the chords and
yeah,
make
right.
it like
right.
you know
exactly.
every other song. So yeah, I mean, that's definitely happened. I don't think it's these days, not so much.
I have the opposite problem when I write, where when because, you know, because I'm coming from more of a folk poppy tradition, that sometimes when I write something too simple, I'm like, is this complicated enough? Will the critics like it?
Yeah.
Is this what's the word I'm looking for? Esoteric as it
yeah.
needs
yeah.
to be, you know what I mean? That it will get like garner some type of respect. And then I'm like, just write what's in your heart. I have to remind myself,
right.
mm-hmm. just write what you feel, you know, because that's really what this is all about. You can have so many complicated chords in a song and it could still not touch someone's soul.
Yeah.
And it could be a song with two chords and it could just get to somebody's
yeah.
pull their heartstrings and, you know, and get into their under their skin in a way that something, and it's not one or the other, you know,
yeah.
Different things affect different people for different reasons.
Yeah, and it sounds like your styles complement one another,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
is great.
Yeah, that's definitely. I mean, I think like that was the really the value of us
yeah.
like just being our own people.
But we're very different. Sometimes yeah. too different. Sometimes it's like,
yeah.
yeah.
Twins.
You know.
Yeah. Triplets.
We should do a musical version of Virgin. Of
Virgin.
Virgin.
The Virgin Mary.
Keeping up with the
Caucasians. That's our last segment.
It is our last segment where
goodness.
We've created sort of a list, Jeopardy style, of things that white people do. So pieces of white culture. And then we talk about whether or not we do them as well. And there are different categories, but I think for you,
yeah,
we'll
we
do
start
a special.
With music.
Yeah, we'll start with music. So
do you want to pick one? We need to expand this list because I didn't know what white people listen to. I didn't know.
Athea just listed like
four things.
Four artists that are like white people.
Do you have?
I'm gonna.
If you have one in mind, or if maybe we could ask Adam what he listens to, since he's
no,
the only white person in the room.
I don't listen to any white music really, though.
Good.
Honestly.
It's well,
okay if you do.
What about?
Let me think about it.
Yeah.
There's got to be somebody.
It doesn't have
but
to be a person. It can be an aspect of music,
okay.
and musical culture. But I'm gonna go with Taylor Swift. For
Whoa.
Right now, are you guys Taylor Swift fans? Do you have opinions
Adam's
on Taylor
like,
Swift? I do.
I do.
but
oh,
what are they? I'd love I'll to know first. Yours. You can go first.
I am not a fan okay. of Taylor Swift, specifically because she's not like from. This is such a random reason because I don't have any like relationship with Tennessee to care about this. But like, she's not from Nashville, and she acted like she was from Nashville, and I thought that was really annoying. And she's not obviously from New York, but now she like acts like she. I just feel like she's the type of person that takes, in this case, another white culture, and just wears it as her like. So she's like, I'm the country starlet, even though like.
Where is she from?
Like Philadelphia or something.
I mean, okay, I think it's all right, you know, because there's a lot of songwriters, they move to Nashville because that's like a hub for that type of music. Mm-hmm. So it's not particularly that I have a problem with that, but I think it's more just like, again, just not giving credit to like where it's due, and like just when you act that, when you act like it's yours.
Also, I kind of wonder then if she's a gentrifier. I feel like she probably
and then she abandoned country music. She doesn't even do country music anymore. So like that whole, I feel like I'm one of those people that's almost a little bit lenient with cultural appropriation in the context of art. Like if like using like jazz inspired things, if you're not like, you know, African American, it's fine to me as long as you give credit where credit is due. And I don't feel like she gives credit. And then I don't feel like, I feel like she just did it for, this is like, I'm speculating so much on like Taylor Swift. But when I was in high school, she was like just starting out and was so huge and was everywhere that I was just like, and she like she stole the curly hair identity, and like I was just like, that's so freaking annoying. And now she's abandoned her curly hair. She didn't even have curly hair anymore.
True. I don't have strong opinions other than her music is like poppy. Like it's not something I would listen to feel something. It'd be something for me to just dance and.
Do you have a Taylor Swift song on your like Spotify playlist?
I might for my workout, I think.
Oh,
because
really?
Yeah, I have a workout like playlist, what something song? Poppy. I forget what.
Well, you don't have to look it up.
I bet I know what it is. Is what? It recent?
No.
There's a song that's like.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah,
I don't remember what this is called.
She's a voice teacher, so she has to sing.
I had to do that song for like a year straight.
Really?
Oh, every like little girl wanted to sing it, and then I kind of like put my foot down. And was like, no, we're gonna like do real music.
That's awesome.
Do you guys
so,
have?
Wait, no. So what's your opinion?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so yeah. I mean, all right. So like, I'm a female guitar player. Mm-hmm. I teach female guitar students. Like, actually, mostly I don't have a lot of male guitar students. Actually, mm-hmm. It's like actually a lot of the girls come to me, and it's for a reason because we don't have a lot of role models. Yeah. I mean, we actually have plenty, but they've been buried by history for many, many reasons. So I mean, all right, this is one thing I'll say is the one good thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the one good thing.
Add some positivity
that
for us.
So that has come from, I think, the popularity of Taylor Swift is that, so I don't know if you guys know, the American guitar industry is actually in serious trouble.
Really?
Companies like Fender, Gibson, you know, these huge guitar companies are really in trouble because a lot of young kids are not actually trying to play guitar. They want to like get, you know, they're into electronic music, they're into EDM, they're into
like, we'll just auto-tune this.
Yeah, get like
DJ. And you know, it's interesting that sales are up in one demographic, and it's women playing guitar. And it's very much because young girls grow up with, they're starting to normalize the image of a woman playing guitar. And of course, she's not the first woman. There's many women who played guitar. But I think that, you know, just her popularity has helped that to a degree. So, you know, and I have female guitar students who tell me, oh, you know, I love Taylor Swift. And, you know, they're young and they're in. I remember really liking Michelle Branch at their age.
Me too.
You know?
Oh my God.
And that was like an inspiration for me at the time because just that image is important. Like, representation is important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's a positive thing that I would say. As far as the music, like, it is a little bit poppy for my sensibility. It's like too watered down and poppy for me. You know, but I guess. Teach her own.
It's just like fun, light, but I don't know.
I mean,
did you guys ever see? There's this amazing interview with Aretha Franklin where they ask her like about what her opinion is of like all these different artists, and they finally get to Taylor Swift, and you know they, like Alicia Keys, good performer. This person, good singer. Blah. Right. They get to Taylor Swift, and she goes, "Beautiful gown."
No,
like it was cold.
That's all she had to say.
Cold,
like perfect. Because so I mean, like you know, it's like you don't know what to say, especially when you ask Aretha Franklin.
Right,
like,
she's like, she probably wanted to say this white bitch.
Yeah,
that's amazing. I'll be civil and
that
diplomatic.
That is like exactly the level of class
I know
that I wish that I one day have, where like the way that I like take down
you can
my
say something positive that has nothing to do with
exactly, and that alone is like. It's still positive, it's like, and there's nothing anybody can say, but that people get it.
I need
to give it thought for
that's
a moment.
Good. Yeah. Like, that's good. Beautiful. I do more of that. So where can we follow your work? Mm-hmm. We want our anything you want to plug that's coming up, or
we'll
put it in the show notes too. At Higazi Band, yes, you're on Instagram, Twitter.
It's at Higazi.
Where's your music? Where can we find it?
Spotify, yeah. Apple Music, basically all the digital platforms. Okay. We do have CDs for people who still like
that.
Yes, we do.
What's a CD?
Yes, they make cars without CD players, but.
That's
true. New cars, they don't have CD players anymore. But we're still on like all the digital platforms, like Amazon and all that stuff.
Speaking of Amazon.
We should examine this.
I think we only have one song on Amazon.
Listen, when you're an artist, you need your thing to get distributed, right? So like that is not, it's not on, just like it's not on the products that are sold on Amazon. I don't think it's on them to make sure that Amazon doesn't sell their stuff. So like,
because at the end of the day, we're really, in a lot of ways, we're the workers. We're making
Making the product that
and
somebody
is buying. It's really the organization at the top, that is actually exploiting people.
That includes us also.
Yeah, but now that I think about it, I don't want them taking a cut of our stuff.
Do they take your cut?
We sell our game, Haram Green Cards, on Amazon. And they take a huge cut.
Really?
But please buy it, guys.
Yeah.
I will, because that sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. It's like a Middle Eastern card game. And
like Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, that's but like, funny. Or like Apples to Apples. We've been accused too much.
Oh, but they took it originally. Yeah, they took it from Apples to Apples. They're sorry.
You guys, we should hang out because I don't have Arab friends to play these things with. Oh my God, that sounds like amazing.
Yes, I would love to. I wish I knew I would have brought you guys the set. Haram Green Cards. Plug it once in a while.
Yeah, you do.
Before we fully sign off, what's
a good song that would be the best introduction to your music right now? Like, if I go on your Spotify and I want to know the song that will, like, you know, that should be the first song
here to stay.
I think we agree on something.
Here to Stay.
I mean, any of the first two singles, yeah.
Okay.
Either or.
I like Here to Stay because it's just like.
But actually. Go to YouTube and watch the video.
Okay.
And the reason we say that is because it's adorable.
I'm a big music video fan. I spend so much time on Amtrak, and for some reason on Amtrak, I just think of all the music videos I've been wanting to watch, and that's when I watch
them.
Oh,
that's great.
And it's really nice, so I'll absolutely look that up.
Very cool. Very cool. So, yeah, we'll put it in the show notes and follow us at NoFlyListPod. Mm-hmm. Send us an email at NoFlyListPod@gmail.com. You're keeping up with the Caucasian moments, your 50 Shades of Brown dating questions. Oh, and please rate us on iTunes. And if there's a place to rate you guys, for sure. You're on Apple Music. Is there a rate?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah,
so rate,
absolutely.
Rate Higazi Band.
Rate all of us. Yes.
Give us a 5-star.
Yes.
10 if
5-star only.
5-star only.
Yes.
But thank you, ladies,
thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So nice to see you guys. Nice reunion.
Bye.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks so much.
Always